Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levee sponsors, emergency managers, and the media. I'm Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and accessible on the Northwestern Division Missouri River news page, and was listed in the links in the email that you received as an invitation to this call. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. I have attempted to place all lines on mute, but as I've mentioned, if you're dialing in, your phone will not automatically mute, and I'll ask you to please place your phone on mute using your own mute function, but please do not place the call on hold. The question and answer session will be at the end of the call, and we'll go over unmuting processes at that time. Our agenda today is as follows. From the NOAA National Center for Environmental Information, we have Doug Kluck, and we have a representative from the National Weather Service and then Missouri River Water Management Division to provide updates on inflows, reservoir storage, and release plans. With that, I'm going to hand the call over to Doug Kluck to provide the first update.
Thank you, Eileen. Just one correction, and I apologize. I'm no longer with NOAA, but I will be presenting a lot of NOAA information. How about that?
Love it. Like I said, just glad to have you back.
For the record, there's my email address. Obviously, there's no NOAA there, so if you want to contact me, feel free. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, so I took the liberties of extending this first presentation for the year to look back at all of 2025. And on the left there, you'll see a pretty yellow map, yellow to orange, I guess you'd say, map. And that's the departure from normal temperatures for the entire year last year. You'll notice that the temperatures across somebody is put us on hold, I think. I can talk through that, but it's up to you guys. Okay, so that's last year's temperatures there. We're slightly above normal across most of the basin, a little bit above, a little bit, I'd say, sort of 2 to 4 degrees above normal in the mountain states. As you can see, that sort of darker orange color. On the right, you see precipitation, percent of normal for the year. You can see a big sort of blue and green splotch up there in South Dakota, portions of Montana, all the way over to Minnesota. But you also see some red here and there. Missouri looks a little dry, southern Iowa and places like that. But scattered precipitation, not a super strong signal, except for the wetness in the sort of western Dakotas and eastern Montana and northern Wyoming. Next slide. Since the beginning of October, also known as the water year, we've seen temperatures much, much above normal, especially in the west. So you're looking at Wyoming and Colorado, actually the entire west, but I guess the center of it all seems to be focused on Wyoming, where temperatures have been much, much warmer than normal, up to 8 to 10 degrees or more. I've talked to people who live in Wyoming, and they just don't know what to think about these temperatures during this time of year, especially late fall into early winter. On the right, you see the percent of normal precipitation for that same period since October 1st. And you see the lower half of the basin being somewhat warmer or somewhat drier, I'm sorry, than normal. The upper basin, relatively wet, and I guess I cut off a little bit of the portion of Montana there. But for the most part, dry south, a little bit wetter to the north. Next slide. So last 30 days, sort of more of the same trend. You see that warmth on the left-hand image there, much above normal We're talking 15 degrees above normal and centered in Wyoming. And not so shabby amounts around that, 5 to 10 to 15 degrees, extending all the way through Nebraska, most of Montana, Kansas. And the yellow is close to normal, but still above normal, and the green is slightly below normal. So temperatures last 30 days, very, very warm for the most part across the basin. So if you thought it was cold, it hasn't been. So percent of normal precipitation, same period. Montana's been relatively wet in most places. Western Wyoming, again, these are some of these, the mountain places are, you know, higher elevation areas are collecting snow, but there's also been a lot of rain in some of those places. So it's been a warm, warm rain, if you will, for that part of the country. If you go to the south and east, you see it gets much drier, very quickly, and you see portions of Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, Missouri looking very, very dry during that period. Now, one thing I will say about this part of the country that looks very, very dry is there's no doubt that it is, but this isn't really a wet time of year either. So it's not like we're missing inches of rain like we would be if you saw this in, let's say, May, June, or July. This is, it's not great, but it's also not the end of the world. Next slide. So I threw this in there also just to look at, again, this is looking at December. And the image on the left is pretty much those numbers there show you where it ranks in terms of temperature over the last 134 years. Has it ever been warmer in portions of Colorado? No. Portions of Wyoming? No. This is the warmest it's ever been for December, for the most part, where it's really that dark red. So single numbers like 1 through 10 or whatever mean it's the top 10 warmest in those different areas within the states. On the right is the same kind of ranking for precipitation. So if you see in southern Missouri, portions of Nebraska and Kansas, very high numbers, it's top 5 or 10 driest in a lot of those areas as well. So lower basins being relatively dry. In those three states, anyway, in those areas. So we just wanted to point that out. Next slide. So I think both the Corps and our comrades over in the River Forecast Center will mention these things. But where that oval is on the left is sort of how we're measuring up in terms of percent of snow water equivalent in the mountains at this time. You can see sort of the southern areas of the Missouri Basin watersheds are kind of dry. And as you go to the north, especially that western Wyoming and portions of Montana look close to normal. I'll let the others kind of comment on that in terms of what the situation is in terms of mountain snowpack. On the right is what it was last year at this time, almost exactly the same time last year. A little bit different, a little bit drier for sure. The percentage is a little lower. We have a long way to go in this accumulation period. So next slide. So there's your plain snowpack, relatively non-existent, a little bit there across North Dakota and into northern Montana. So we'll just skip through that. Next slide. And that's the difference from normal in terms of snow depth. And wherever you see yellow, we're below normal in terms of snow. Not surprising when there is none. And those places tend to have quite a bit or at least something. We see nothing. So we're below normal in terms of plain snowpack at this time. Next slide. This is a indication, modeled indication of how soil moisture across the region kind of fits what we've just been talking about in terms of dryness recently and such. You can see it's kind of wet up across Montana, but as you head downriver, if you will, it gets much drier much, much more quickly. Next slide. This is the outlook. We're switching to outlooks now. Outlook through basically the next 7 days. And after today, there'll be a little bit more precipitation in the southern part of the basin, but we're getting good rain today. I heard thunder at my house in Kansas City today, so we had some good convective rains down here. So looks like around an inch in the lower basin in those blue areas, and then a lot less as you head to the north and west, where there's basically nothing or very, very light precipitation, kind of meaningless stuff up there. Next slide. This is the outlook for week two, so January 15th to the 21st, more or less. We do see an indication of some cooler air finally making it into at least the Great Lakes areas and maybe the far eastern portions of the basin. Nothing earth-shattering in terms of cold coming down yet. We also see on the right-hand side of this image, you see the precipitation outlook, and we see above normal chances for precipitation across most of the basin, as a matter of fact, except Missouri. But as you go upriver, if you will, into Montana and such, better probabilities of above normal precipitation. Week two, we call it. So the middle of January. Next slide. This is the outlook for January through March. And this is a stereotypical La Nina pattern. If you hear El Nino or La Nina, this is, we're in a La Nina. It's a weak one. It probably will be fading away pretty soon. But cooler to the north, image on the left again. Image on the left shows chances of cooler than normal temperatures up there. Colorado is about the only place, so maybe a little bit of western Kansas, that has above normal probabilities for temperature in the basin anyway. And then as far as precipitation on the right, you see above normal chances for precipitation in Montana and Wyoming where we need it in the headwaters, and equal chances for most of the basin as you head downstream. So, that is a La Nina-esque, if you will, map of probabilities for precipitation and temperature. Next slide. This is the drought status on the left, current drought status. And you really got to squint here. Basically, compared to last year, we're much better off, or better off, I don't know about much better, but better off in terms of drought going into the new year, I'll say. The image on the upper right shows how much we've improved over the last year. The green areas, anything green is an improvement. The areas in yellow or darker shades of orange are places that has gotten worse over the last year or so. But you can see huge improvements over the northern part of the basin. And here and there we see, especially in, I guess, portions of Missouri, things getting worse a little bit. And then the outlook is down below in the lower right. And for the most part, you see improvement. I'll just tell you what the colors mean real quick. Improvement in the upper basin, not a big change across Nebraska, and maybe a little bit of improvement in portions of Missouri, but not on the, in this case, not in the Kansas, Missouri border there. And this is a forecast for the end of March. So by the end of March, this is what they expect to see. Where it's brown there, they don't expect improvement. Where it's yellow, they expect worsening or degrading drought conditions. And where it's kind of green or gray, they think it's going to be improving in terms of drought. All right. I think we're summation slide next, and then I'll be done. Yeah. So current ENSO or El Nino La Nina conditions is weak La Nina transitioning to neutral this spring, plain snowpack pretty much lacking, mountain snowpack. I'll let the professionals talk about this a little bit more, but mainly at higher elevations, I think we have good snowpack, widespread dryness, but not nearly as severe as last year at this time. Short-term forecast is for temperatures generally near normal across the basin, and then precipitation chances are – this is week two, by the way – and then precipitation chances are elevated for most of the basin week two as well. Longer-term, slightly increased chances of above-normal temperatures in the far west, southwest of the basin, and then slightly increased chances of below-normal temperatures to the north, mainly Montana into North Dakota. And then precipitation chances enhanced for much of the upper basin based on, again, La Nina, and equal chances elsewhere. If anybody wants more information, kind of along these lines that I just provided. We continue to do a North Central Climate Summary and Outlook webinar, basically Great Lakes to Rocky Mountains, every month on the third Thursday of each month at 1 p.m. If you want to register, you can either email me and I'll figure out how to get you registered, or you can copy that and register yourself. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug. And we will move to Ben Zifrel from the Missouri Basin Forecast Center.
Thank you, Eileen. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yep, we got you. I'm going to put myself back on mute, and then I will change slides.
Absolutely. So before we go ahead and proceed on to the next slide, I just want to go and talk about just the upper portion of the basin just real quick. You know, as Doug showed, snowpack conditions across the Missouri River Basin show notable spatial variability, with the majority of the basin exhibiting below normal snowfall, albeit portions of the high terrain in Montana and Wyoming, along with pockets across of northeast Montana and South Dakota. So that being said, we issued our water supply forecast yesterday. Some of the early season signals across Montana and Wyoming remain mixed at this time, with both above and below normal forecasts indicated from our water modeling. Now, this degree of variability is typical given the uncertainty during the months leading into the snowmelt season, which we still got about 3 or 4 to go as the snowmelt season begins in April. There is a stronger and more consistent signal right now as far as below normal water supply that currently exists within the South Platte River Basin of eastern Colorado, southeast Wyoming. So as far as the forecasts go for the Milk River at the eastern crossing, we have a water supply forecast beginning out into April of 37%. For the Missouri River above Fort Peck, 92%. The Yellowstone River at Sydney at 95%. The North Platte, where the Seminole inflow exists, at 92%. And finally, the South Platte at 58%. Now, with this image here, we're just going to touch on some of the points that Doug had raised. First and foremost, we saw that the drought conditions, they remain present across portions of the basin, though exceptionally better than a year ago, where 70% of the basin was categorized as some level of drought versus 21% today. Precipitation over the past 90 days has been notably below normal across much of the lower half of the basin. And as Doug showed, temperatures across the entire basin have consistently been above normal going back to the beginning of the water year. So altogether, soil moisture is near normal to locally wetter for some areas of Montana, while elsewhere, the majority of the basin at this time remains at or below normal with regards to soil moisture, well down through the depths of 100 centimeters, if I'm not mistaken, especially for central and lower portions of the basin, like Doug pointed out, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. So with that being said, along with the soil temperatures that are just across the lower half of the basin remaining slightly above freezing, and frost depths wherever present, generally shallow on the order of just a few inches, and only the deepest frost depth was up across the Dakotas. And an absence of significant flooding since the beginning of the water year, been largely mute overall. Our river outlooks, which you're looking at in front of you here, out 90 days that are issued towards the end of the month, in this case through March 28th, indicate a limited flood potential across the basin. So flood risk is denoted by the color of the particular river station, with green meaning a less than 50% chance of flooding, orange being greater than 50% for minor flooding, red for moderate, and purple for major. So our most recent river outlook as of December 24th highlights just a small number of forecast points showing a 50% or greater chance of exceeding minor flood stage, most notably along the James River Basin in eastern South Dakota, and some smaller, flashier tributaries that exist in central Missouri along the main stem Missouri River. But as always, the risk for flooding between now and late March is dependent upon the timing and location of any plain snow melt, rain on snow events, and rain events just in general, especially by late March when we start seeing that thunderstorm activity, which is a little bit more probable. And lastly, keep in mind that the flood outlook does not take into account any river rise whatsoever. That has not been an issue as of late, aside from some minor issues during brief cold spells, most notably downstream from Gavin's Point along the main stem Missouri, and some isolated minor issues elsewhere around the northern half of the basin where it's definitely been cold this season. Our next 90-day outlook is scheduled for Thursday, January 22nd, so this graphic will be updated by then. and the Met, and the Weather Service will be issuing its first official spring flood outlook on Thursday, February 12th, and that'll provide the first official NWS quantification of flood potential for the spring and going into early summer. So again, that's for February 12th. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Eileen. I thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And now over to John and his team in Omaha.
Thank you, Eileen. And thank you to Doug and Ben for their support here today. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River mainstream reservoir system. This is the first of our 2026 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the Corps remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Further, it is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flood event is unique. Care should be taken when directly comparing one event to another. As Doug and Ben both mentioned, over the late summer, fall, and early winter of 2025, there's been some general improvement in the hydrologic conditions in the basin. However, drought still is an issue. That said, the main stem reservoir storage remains below normal, and therefore we will continue water conservation measures through the winter and into the summer and possibly longer. Relatively moderate temperatures in the upper basin have not posed a significant ice threat to date. However, there's a lot of winter left and ice could become a problem. We will continue to monitor the weather forecast, channel and ice conditions, and adjust releases to the extent practical to reduce the risk of ice-affected flooding or low flows. The Corps of Engineers understand the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently, and will be, adequate water in the reservoirs and the river reaches between the reservoirs and below the system to serve all water supply needs. I do want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner-operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River main stem reservoir system for its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 biological opinion. Lastly, the runoff forecast and the projected reservoir releases and pool levels that Ryan Larson and Mike Swinson will be discussing are based on the best available information. As we move through the year, actual conditions may be different. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will turn the discussion over to Ryan Larson.
Thanks, John. I'm on slide 20, Eileen. The 2025 calendar year runoff summation for the Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa was 19.9 million acre feet, or 78% of average, which was slightly higher than a lower quartile runoff, or the lower 25% of runoff years for the upper Missouri River Basin based on 128 years of record keeping. The 2026 calendar year runoff forecast for the upper Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa is 24.5 million acre feet, or 96% of average, and is highlighted in red. Moving to slide 21. The near-average runoff forecast for 2026 reflects a mixture of drier-than-normal and wetter-than-normal soil moisture in the upper basin, near-average mountain snowpack, and below-average plain snowpack. As seen on this slide, we are forecasting slightly below-average runoff for the high runoff periods of March through April, typically when the plain snowpack melts, and May through July, typically when the mountain snowpack melts. Although the plain snowpack is currently below average over much of the upper basin, the long-term climate outlooks are still indicating equal chances for above, below, and normal precipitation over the Dakotas and increased chances for above normal precipitation over Montana during the February through April period. Moving to slide 22. Mountain snowpack is a big driver of runoff during the other high runoff period of May through July. As of July 4th, or January 4th, mountain snowpack was near average in both the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches. Mountain snowpack, which typically begins accumulating in October, began the accumulation season tracking well below average. However, storms that have tracked through the Northern Rockies have increased the accumulation of mountain snowpack to near average levels. The mountain snowpack in the above Fort Peck reach is 99% of average, shown in the left graphic, and compared to the maximum and minimum snowpacks over the last 30 years, as well as the average snowpack for the reach. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach is 100% of average, shown in the graphic on the right. It is important to note that close to 45% of the typical accumulation period has elapsed, and a majority of the mountain snowpack typically falls from January 1st to mid-April. Moving to slide 23. This graphic provides a status update on the Upper Missouri River Basin Monitoring Network as more stations were completed last year. There are now 368 of the 540 total sites completed and transmitting data, with another 74 scheduled to be installed in this coming summer. All stations are scheduled to be installed by 2027. Each station is designed to measure meteorological data, precipitation, snow depth, soil moisture, and soil temperature at five different depths. Data provided by these stations help improve products such as the no-risk snow map shown on previous slides and inform our runoff forecast. In summary, the 2026 calendar year runoff forecast is 24.5 million acre feet, or 96% of average. So now I'll turn it over to Mike.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Gavin's Point releases reached the winter release rate of 12,000 CFS on December 15th and have remained at that rate since that time. Gavin's Point releases are expected to remain near 12,000 CFS through February, but will be adjusted as needed due to cold weather. Garrison releases were set at 16,000 CFS in early December. This is a typical winter release rate prior to the river freezing over in the Bismarck, North Dakota area. The river stage typically rises several feet in a short period during the initial freezing, as it did this past mid-December. Releases will remain at 16,000 CFS through February, downstream conditions permitting. Moving on to the monthly simulations or the monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Ryan just discussed. Due to the amount of variability in precipitation and other hydrologic factors that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely runoff forecast. Information on the other simulations is posted on our webpage. Turning here to slide 25 then, system storage is currently 48.9 million acre feet, 7.2 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. Moving on to slide 26, and looking at the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe are currently 12, 8.5, and 6.4 feet below the base of their respective flood control zones. The reservoirs will start this year's runoff season approximately 6 to 12 feet below the base of their flood control zones. I am now on slide 27, which details the master manual system storage checks. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation, and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The navigation service level at the start of the navigation season is typically based on the March 15th system storage. Under the basic simulation, we would be providing flow support at a level about 5,000 CFS below full service for the first part of the navigation season. So that level of service on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from approximately 20,000 to 30,000 CFS. The service level for the remainder of the navigation season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1st system storage. Under the basic forecast, flow support for navigation would be reduced to approximately 1,500 CFS below full service after the July 1st storage check, there would be a normal 8-month navigation flow support season. Moving on to slide 28. While the Corps continues the planning process for Fort Peck test flows, based on the current reservoir forecast, there will be insufficient water to run test flows from Fort Peck in 2026. As usual, conditions will be monitored throughout the coming months, and the regulation will be adjusted as needed. Energy generation at the main stem dams in 2025 was 7.7 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 8.4 billion kilowatt hours. The forecast for 2026, again, with the basic simulation, is 8 billion kilowatt hours. And my last slide here is slide 29, which shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown on the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. I'll turn it back to you, Eileen.
Thanks, Mike. So our next call will be February 5th, 1 o'clock. I will be sending out invitations for that call the Monday beforehand, just like I did for this week. We will move into the question and answer session for media on the line. The names of our speakers and their contact information is available here, as well as their position title. You need that for your coverage. Okay. Right now, I've got 78 callers on the line. I want to thank you all for joining us. We'll field questions in alphabetical order by state. To unmute your line, press star 6. Or if you're dialed in via the Teams app, just click the microphone and it will unmute you. Please state your name and the organization you represent before asking your question. We'll start with the state of Iowa. Okay. Kansas. Missouri. Montana. Nebraska. Again, star 6 to come off mute or press the microphone button. North Dakota. South Dakota.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, this is Dave Thompson. I'm with Prairie Public Broadcasting. This is Mark. Just a very quick question. The overall impression I'm getting is everything seems to be pretty good in the basin. Would that be correct?
John?
This is John. The conditions have improved generally improved over the basin. There are still, as Doug pointed out in his presentation, there are some areas of drought, particularly in the lower basin. I would say they're improved. I wouldn't say that they're pretty good. They're just better off than when we were this time a year ago.
And one other question just for me, where do I find the names and the titles of the people who spoke?
Let me talk about that, Eileen. Generally we post these slides on our website, but we're having some technical difficulties, so they are not posted today. Hopefully we'll get these posted maybe tomorrow on our website. Hopefully. It's some internal security type things that we need to work out.
I can send the slides to you after the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way you've got them for today.
Eileen, you have my address, correct?
Let me get your name one more time just in case.
It's Dave Thompson with Prairie Public.
All right. Yep, I've got you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Any others from South Dakota? I know he was North Dakota, but South Dakota was where I was. Okay. And Wyoming?
Any other questions from anyone else on the line? All right, I'll hand it back to you, John, for final comments.
Thank you, Arlene, and I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Just a couple of things here. Being on or near the water is inherently dangerous. There isn't a lot of ice in the river right now, but that doesn't mean there couldn't be in the coming weeks. The proper use of safety equipment and procedures, and I just want everybody to use proper safety equipment and procedures and be aware of the existing and forecasted conditions. Conditions can change sometimes quite rapidly, so please be safe. As I stated earlier, this is our first scheduled stakeholder call of 2026. As Arlene said, the next one is on February 5th. We'll hold these through July. We'll also hold ad hoc calls more frequently if warranted. We are planning to do in-person meetings this spring, water management meetings. We're going to start working on the logistics of those here in the next coming week or so to see. Of course, that's all kind of subject to what happens with the funding for the government here in the next several weeks. Again, if you have any questions regarding the reservoir operations, feel free to contact us. The slide that Eileen has up now has our contact information, and we will be posting these slides. With that, I'll offer one last chance for questions or comments before ending the call. So if you have a question or comment, please come unmuted. Going once, twice. Again, thank you all for joining us. I will end the call now. Thank you.
Thank you.